You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 8th of November, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about the immigration problem, and we have a bit of a light-hearted article to get into. First, you could say it was poetic justice. A lifeboat crew on a training course was kicked out of a hotel midway through their stay to make way for asylum seekers, as thousands of homeless migrants are put up in five-star hotels. Think about that, five-star hotels. And of course, the RNLI and the Border Force have been picking up these illegal immigrants in the Channel and then taking them ashore in Britain, where they are then put in one of these holding centres, supposedly for just 24 hours, but sometimes they're there for a little bit longer. And then from these holding centres, they then get farmed out to three, four, and now five-star hotels. And they stay in these hotels until social accommodation can be found for them. Social housing, council houses, or private accommodation, where the rent is then paid for by the government. I mean, it is quite incredible that this is going on. I mean, these people should be put in prison and then sent back to where they came from, surely. If they're breaking into the country, it's the equivalent of breaking into someone's house. They're breaking the law. We don't know who they are or where they've come from because they throw away their documents. And then, of course, they claim to be from the latest part of the world that we say we will accept migrants from. I think currently at the moment it's Afghanistan. They will claim to be children when they're not children. We have lots of non-whites that are in their 20s that are claiming to be under the age of 16. I think there was a test done a while back that showed that over 80% of the people that were claiming to be children were not children. Of course, it's against their human rights for us to have a look at their teeth and from the look of their teeth, work out how old they are. So we're basically just paying for these people to break into our country, and we are rewarding them for that. And the RNLI are a large part of this because they are going out and picking them up and bringing them in. And now they have been turfed out of the hotel that they were staying in. Pretty much just like all the people that are on the council house lists that are not being given their council houses because the council houses are also going to these illegal asylum seekers. I say illegal asylum seekers because they've broken into the country. France is not at war. France is the country that they have come from. They've come to Britain out of choice. They have not come to Britain because they are fleeing from war. It may be that they have family here in Britain that they want to see. Maybe they have friends here in Britain. Maybe they speak English. Maybe they just want to come because they think they can earn more money in Britain. But those are not reasons for why we should be allowing people to come into our country. They effectively displace the people that are already here. The four members of the RNLI were turfed out of the three-star hotel in Holy Lake, Merseyside, without notice on Tuesday. Imagine that. They'd just come in from sea, just come in from rescuing, quote-unquote, rescuing these illegal asylum seekers. They get to the hotel and they came back to find their bags packed and left in the foyer after taking part in a hovercraft training session on nearby mudflats. So they weren't actually involved in picking up the fake asylum seekers that day. They were involved in a training session. But when they got there, they were told, that's it, you've got to move out. These people that you've been picking up, they are going to move in. A source said, the irony is off the scale. These migrants were picked up in the Channel by members of Border Force and volunteers from the RNLI. Now, some of those volunteers, literally on a course to improve the ways that they can save lives at sea, have been kicked out of their hotel by the very people they are training to rescue. Now, they're not actually rescuing these people that are in the boats. It's just that they shouldn't actually be in the channel because you've got big vessels in the channel that are crossing across to France. They've deliberately done that. They've deliberately put themselves there. So I don't really get this idea that what we're doing is rescuing them. We're rescuing them from their bad choices. I mean, if somebody's being rescued at sea, it's because they've got into difficulties. They weren't actually going out to do something dangerous in the first place. It's people that know what they're doing that go out in boats, and perhaps they run out of fuel or what have you, and they genuinely need help from the RNLI. These people are just trying to break into Britain. They're not coming in through the legal routes. And the legal routes are easy enough to get in. I mean, all you have to do is apply to go to a university somewhere, and you can then get a visa. You can then get a visa to bring all your family in. We have this points-based system now. And you can come in if you're looking for skilled work. Liz Truss was saying you can come in if you're looking for unskilled work. So if you don't have any points, then you must really not have a lot to offer if you can't get any points for the points-based system. It is very easy to get in completely legally into Britain. So these people that are trying to break into the country and come in illegally, they really must not have anything that they have to offer us. And yet we're giving them these huge, great rewards by putting them up in hotels, and we're running out of three-star hotels, running out of four-star hotels. They're now being put up in luxury hotels. There is a luxury hotel in North Wales, and it's got these illegal immigrants in there, a young couple that were expecting to get married there. They've had to cancel their wedding. I mean, this is a wedding venue. It's a very, very upmarket venue, and it's now going to be filled up with these fake asylum seekers. The migrants were driven to the hotel that the RNLI were in from the crisis-hit, overcrowded Manston Asylum Processing Facility in Kent, more than 300 miles away. And in Parliament, they're all complaining that this Manston Asylum Processing Facility, it's overcrowded, and the migrants are having to wait there for too long because they're only supposed to be there for 24 hours. And then you've got the politicians boasting about how many hotels that they've actually secured to put these migrants in. They call them migrants. Really, we should just call them trespassers because they are trespassing in the country. It has been revealed that 4- and 5-star hotels are being booked out for months at a time to house thousands of migrants. And just think of the amount of money this is costing. It is costing millions to put these people up. And really, they should just be put into a prison and then they should be sent back to where we think that they come from. We should have an agreement with a country in Africa that we can send them back to. That would be the best. That would be the best way to deal with this. There's no war in France. These are people that have just chosen to come to Britain, and they've thrown their documents away, so we can't work out who they are. So we should really just have a deal with one of these African countries, perhaps Rwanda. Of course, Rwanda is happy to take them. Rwanda wants economic migrants. They don't care who it is. They want people to go to Rwanda and make a life for themselves there. And we should just give more aid, more foreign aid to Rwanda, and then take these people that are broken into our country, just take them there. I guess they would say, oh, this is against their human rights, but their human rights will be respected in Rwanda. They'll get looked after by them, and they'll be able to make a life for themselves there. The RNLI crew members, 1 volunteer and 3 staff, are now having to stay in a different hotel, 8 miles away, in Liverpool. So the RNLI have now been displaced in the same way that white people are being displaced by non-whites coming into the country. The Hoylake Hotel is just the latest to be identified to house asylum seekers, and sources said that councillors were left in the dark about the plans. And that's what goes on here as well. The council are not told about this when this happens. And when they protest against it, nothing seems to get done about it. I know we did have a success with Linton on Ouse, but there are plenty of other places in the country where the locals have protested against having all these illegal immigrants dropped on them, and nothing is done about it. It is understood that the local authority was notified on Monday that the premises, which have more than 50 rooms, had been commissioned by the Home Office and government contractor Serco to house the migrants. And Serco is also buying up all the properties that are to rent so that they can put them in these properties to rent. So it's also creating difficulties for people that are needing to get housed from the private sector. Serco is just buying up all these houses that are to rent, and they're saying, we will guarantee you the rent for 2 years, I think it is, and when you get the property back, we'll ensure that everything in there is new, we'll pay the electricity bills, we'll pay all the council tax. And this is all being done in order to house illegal immigrants that are broken into the country. Even when they fail their asylum claim, they are still put up and they're still housed while they wait for their appeal to be heard, which, as far as I'm aware, can take a few years. So even if their asylum claim is not upheld, that they still stay here. I think that's why the government seem to be upholding about 75% of these asylum claims. I guess they're looking at it and thinking, well, if we allow them to have asylum, then at least perhaps they might work and they might pay some tax. It's absolutely ludicrous what is going on. And the Conservative Party will pretend that the system is broken. And the system was set up like this. You know, if Hungary and Poland can prevent people from breaking into their country, if Australia can do the same and put anybody that breaks into Australia, they put them up in Papua New Guinea, in a camp there, then surely we can do the same. We're not signed up to any different agreements than Australia is, and we're not really signed up to any agreements that are different to what these countries in the EU are signed up to. If there was a will there to put a stop to this, a stop would be put to it. One in four hotels being used fall into the 4- and 5-star category, with the Home Office refreshing booking.com in their hunt for spaces, a source told The Sun. So a quarter of all the hotels being used are really, really upmarket hotels. You don't get a better hotel than a 5-star hotel. I mean, 4-star is good enough, but 5-star hotels, that the stately homes, the really best properties that we have in Britain, are being used to put these people in that have chosen to break into the country. Two of the hotels secured include Great Hallingbury Manor, a 4-star hotel in Essex, and the Dolphin Inn, a 4-star stay in St. Ives, the news site reported. And these are nice areas that people want to go to on holiday. St. Ives is a holiday resort in Cornwall. These people are not being just put up in Dover or nearby to the processing centre. They're actually being sent around the country to really beautiful parts of the country, beauty spots, where people are not used to having large numbers of fighting age males from countries with completely different cultures to our own. We've heard about them leering in through the windows of primary schools. For instance, there's a video online at the moment with a primary school teacher telling the migrants not to leer in through the windows of the primary school. There's video of outside the centre and these hotels in Dorset. And all of the hotels around Kent, I mean, they're just filled up. They're filled up with these migrants. And nobody can actually get to book a room in a hotel if they need to stay there, because all it seems that all these hotels in Britain are now booked up. They were being booked up by the government through Serco, and as I say, a lot of the private accommodation is now going as well. So we have these very, very posh hotels in luxury parts of the country that now have people living in them from some of the poorest parts of the world. There are more than 50 men from North Africa staying in the Essex venue, which, with its lake, picnic area and barbecue, has been block booked out for up to 2 months, a staff member told The Sun. And what happens when they book these venues? The staff that are there are actually told that they have to go, that they lose their job. And Serco move in people and caterers and what have you, because the government is still trying to do this cheaply. And then the people that are staying in these hotels complain about the food, don't they? They complain about the food, they complain about the internet if it's not fast enough. In Glasgow, they were complaining about the internet and they went out and stabbed someone. They were complaining about the food in a hotel outside Colchester the other day, and they were climbing up on the roof and threatening to throw themselves off. They have the run of the hotel. The bedrooms are very comfortable. And they have three meals a day. Yet some have complained about the food because it is not what they are used to, the staff member said. Imagine that. You're claiming asylum and you're going to complain that the food is not good enough because it's not the food that you're used to. The staff member continued, they spend their time walking about or playing football. Language is a problem, but they don't say much. They tend to keep themselves to themselves. And they added that there are two people looking after the group of men. So they got, you got 50 men from North Africa staying there. They've got two people responsible for them. They can go in and out of the hotel whenever they like. You don't know how many of them are criminals or are criminal types because we don't have their documents. And the people that live in this Essex area, obviously this is going to be a worry to them. We've had all sorts of problems that have been happening in the areas where these migrants are being housed. The Dolphin Inn in Cambridgeshire is reportedly housing asylum seekers from Afghanistan and other countries, and the Prime Minister has said that since September, 4,500 more hotel beds have been sourced for the government. What is wrong with putting these people in prison if they've broken into the country? Why are they being put up in the best hotels and the best housing and accommodation that we actually have in the country? A spokesperson for the Home Office said that when migrants are moved into government-paid hotels, most of the hotels, other facilities such as pools and gyms, will not be available to use. So they don't say that all the facilities will be gone. It's just the swimming pools that they're not going to allow them in. And I guess that's because they would have to pay for a lifeguard to be there. Similar with the gym, I guess. There's insurance issues. But they're allowed to use every other part of the hotel. And I'm sure they have the bedding changed every day. They also have doctors available to them, dentists available to them, all the sorts of things that the general British citizens actually end up having problems trying to see. You know, you have to wait 2 weeks to see a doctor at the moment. That's not the case if you've broken into the country and you're being put up in one of these hotels. You get to see a doctor as soon as you need to see one. All this comes amidst chaotic scenes across the country as immigration staff desperately try to find accommodation for the thousands of migrants crossing the channel every week. And we did hear the other day that there was over 1,000 of them that turned up just in one day. I mean, more and more of them are going to turn up once they know that they're going to be put up in hotels when they get here. And they're not going to be turned away like they are in Poland or Hungary. They're going to be treated as treasured guests after they break into Britain. Jenny Halliday, Serco's contract director for asylum accommodation services, said, with the significant increases in the number of people arriving in the UK, we have been faced with no alternative but to temporarily accommodate some asylum seekers in hotels. These hotels are only used as a last resort. Well, where else do they put them? We don't have anywhere else to put them. They're putting them up in these hotels. This is why I say they should be just taking them and sending them straight to Rwanda. That would deter them from coming, wouldn't it? They talk about, oh, we've got to break this model of these people traffickers and the money that they make. Well, all the while these people know that they're going to be put up in hotels, they're going to keep paying the money to the people traffickers, aren't they? And all the while we have these NGOs like Care for Calais and all these other NGOs that are helping these people to break into Britain. We're not going to be able to put a stop to it, are we? They look at Britain as being Treasure Island. It's the land of milk and honey. If you want to go on holiday, just make your way to France, get on one of these boats and tell the British that you don't know where you come from, you're being persecuted in Afghanistan or what have you. I mean, a large number of these people are actually from Albania. A huge percentage are from Albania. And there's no war that's happening in Albania. But as I say, even when they say, well, your asylum claim is bogus, we're not going to give you asylum, they still end up putting them up. They still end up paying them £40 a week. And you can find it on the government's own website. Looking at it the other day, what asylum seekers are entitled to and what you are entitled to if your claim for asylum is refused. And it's exactly the same thing, basically. You still get your accommodation paid for while you're waiting to hear your appeal. Elsewhere in the country, women fleeing domestic abuse could be the next to find themselves displaced, like the RNLI volunteers, after a High Court ruling yesterday. So what we have here is we have a hotel that was actually being used for women fleeing domestic abuse, and the judge has decided that it's far more important that we put up these foreign trespassers in the hotel. A judge suspended an injunction which had been preventing a hotel from housing asylum seekers. They call them asylum seekers here, but they're all fake asylum seekers because they've all come from France, and you're supposed to go in the nearest country that you come to if you're going to claim asylum, which is to prevent people from doing what is happening here. We have no duty to be looking after people that have broken into the country, that haven't actually come fleeing from a war zone, that have just come from France. It doesn't say we have to look after the people that do that in the refugee convention. It says that they have to stop off at the first safe country that they come to if they're going to be claiming asylum. The court heard that Stoke-on-Trent City Council opposed the Home Office's plan to book all 88 rooms in the historic North Stafford Hotel because it was a breach of planning rules and it prevented the council from using it for vulnerable locals. This is the other thing. None of these hotels have actually got planning permission to be used as hostels. They've got planning permission to be used as hotels for tourism. And the government is just ignoring the fact that all these planning rules are being breached, and they're just walking roughshod over all these councils and the people that live in the area that don't want this going on. The council wrote to the Home Office in September expressing its concerns at the plan. In addition to this, it was the location used by the City Council to accommodate low-risk homeless families with children and women fleeing domestic abuse, who will now be displaced, as this arrangement has been ended by the hotel as a direct result of the Home Office proposal, the letter read. So we find out here that what councils have actually been doing, they've been helping out women that have been beaten up. They've been helping out families with children who have been made homeless, and they've been putting them up in some of these hotels, and they have deals with these hotels. And now what is happening, those deals are being cancelled, and instead of looking after the women that have been beaten up or the homeless families, the hotels are going to be looking after these trespassers who have broken into the country. So it effectively says that the government cares more about these trespassers than it does about British citizens. And this is the point that so many people make. They say, well, shouldn't we be housing the veterans on our streets? Shouldn't we be housing our own homeless and be putting them up in hotels before we put up these foreign trespassers? And now that is literally what is actually going on here. They are turfing our own people out of these hotels that need help, and they're replacing them with the foreign trespassers. The judge, Mr. Justice Lyndon, refused to extend the injunction until a final hearing, which is expected to take place in December, meaning that the hotel can be used to house migrants immediately. In his ruling, he said, "I take into account the perspective of the citizens of Stoke-on-Trent, but hope they would appreciate the potential suffering of the asylum seekers is no small matter when one considers the circumstances in which they have come." So they're saying you're just going to have to suck it up, and these poor asylum seekers that have broken into the country from war-torn France are in more desperate need of being housed than this poor woman who's been beaten up and is fleeing from being beaten up from an abusive partner who has her children with them. They're effectively saying that these trespassers are more important. It must be so terrible for them to be living in France, and that's why they've had to flee to Britain. I mean, it's just incredible, isn't it, that a judge could actually say that and say that, that Britain's own needy should appreciate that the suffering of the asylum seekers is far more than theirs. Well, if the suffering of the asylum seekers was genuine, why did they not seek a genuine route into Britain? Why did they not claim asylum in the way that they should do, rather than breaking into the country? The city was one of four local authorities to take legal action against hotels being block booked for migrants. But I guess the problem is that, I mean, this doesn't bode very well, does it, for the other local authorities that are trying to take legal action here, because the government are just ignoring the fact that planning permission is being ignored here. A council spokesman said, "We are obviously disappointed that we were unsuccessful in seeking a continuance of the interim injunction to restrain the use of a local hotel as a hostel by accommodating asylum seekers." So they're basically changing the function of the hotel. So it's no longer a hotel, it's a hostel. They say the city has a long tradition of supporting asylum seekers, having been an asylum dispersal area over three decades. So they're saying, well, we're quite happy to put them up in council houses, but we don't want to have them in this hotel because this is where we put our own homeless. I mean, it's scandalous what is going on here. We've got a similar problem happening in Ireland. I mean, the problems that are happening in Ireland aren't so much putting them up in hotels, but just putting them up in council houses and giving them an amnesty if they've actually broken into the country. One councillor, now this is in Ireland, has claimed that her constituents have been left afraid to walk the streets after an influx of asylum seekers into her town, where migrants now reportedly make up over one-fifth of the population. So one-fifth of the population has been displaced by people from other countries with other cultures that, for whatever reason, have left the indigenous Irish too frightened to actually go out from their homes. A number of councillors in the Irish town of Killarney have warned that people are living in fear as a result of a recent influx of migrants into the area. As I say, I mean, it may be that they're just frightened for no reason, but the fact is that they are frightened, and the reason for this is because of Ireland's immigration policy. With over one-fifth of the town's population now being migrants, the surge mirrors a nationwide increase in the number of non-Ukrainian asylum seekers in Ireland. Such arrivals have likely been boosted by the open borders policies of the country's government, with Ireland's Justice Minister Helen McEntee earlier this year implementing a near blanket amnesty for illegal migrants already living on the island. So she's effectively sent out an invitation to anyone that wants to come to Ireland. You can just come to the country, you'll be given an amnesty, you'll be allowed to stay there, and the government really just couldn't care less about the Irish citizens that are already there that are now too frightened to leave their homes. According to a report by local paper, the Killarney Advertiser, the number of migrants in the town has increased dramatically in recent weeks due to the government's commitment to house an uncapped number of refugees. So the government has said, come to Ireland, we don't care how many of you there are, and we will house you. Again, I'm fairly certain that Ireland must have a homeless problem of its own Irish citizens, and instead of housing them first, they are housing people breaking into the country, and they're saying, don't worry about breaking in, we'll give you an amnesty, and we'll make you a citizen anyway. Overall, more than 3,200 asylum seekers are said to just be in this one town, which before the influx only had a population of 10,360 people. That's incredible. That's a third of that number. Not a fifth, it's a third of that number that the town number has been increased by. And of course, they will all be young fighting age males. They won't be young women or families, because it's too dangerous, they think, to actually make their way over to Ireland or make their way over to Britain. It's these young fighting age males. And once they're actually here in the country, once they get their papers, then they request for their family to come over. Various people from inside the town have since reportedly contacted the paper, saying that they are concerned regarding their own safety in the wake of the arrivals, with the publication describing them as living in fear. I know for a fact that there are people actually afraid to walk the streets or walk down along the road, local councillor Marie Maloney is reported as saying during a Killarney municipal district meeting earlier this week. I am not being dramatic, she reportedly continued. I am telling you the truth. So she's not trying to scare people. She's not trying to incite hate. She is just basically pointing out the facts of the matter. The Irish citizens are now too frightened to go out of their homes. The indigenous Irish are too frightened to go out because of the number of newcomers that have been put in their city, or their town, rather. Another councillor, Donald Grady, meanwhile told the publication that they, the migrants, are the ones causing all the trouble. They are not respecting our town, he said. There are people afraid to walk down the park road. So it's councillors that are saying this. It's not far-right populist agitators that are saying this. It's the actual councillors of the town that are pointing out the fact that it is the newcomers that are causing the trouble. And why are the newcomers there? Because the Irish government invited them and gave them all an amnesty. Meanwhile, unverified footage posted online earlier this week is reported to show men who are believed to be asylum seekers abusing a woman on the street in the town. When confronted by passers-by on his behaviour, the man appears to try and get the person intervening to fight him. I think I saw this video. The white woman was just walking past, and this person who was not Irish came up to her, started trying to molest her, I think, and then one of the indigenous Irish told him, "You should not be doing this, this is not acceptable." And the newcomer then tries to have a fight with him. And this is the sort of thing that we just keep seeing all the time. If you're on Twitter, you see a lot of these sort of videos that people put up there trying to draw attention to what is going on in European countries, in white countries. Issues reportedly being experienced in Killarney come as authorities in Ireland make concerted efforts to loosen border restrictions on the island. So the councillors are saying this is awful, this is causing all sorts of problems. And the government, as a response, they loosen the restrictions on immigration. While working on getting hate speech laws passed in the country, because, of course, at the same time as opening up immigration, they also tried to bring in laws to prevent people from talking about it or drawing attention to it, Ireland's Justice Minister Helen McEntee pushed through a near-blanket migrant amnesty, allowing illegals in the country to gain permanent residency status. Permanent status, that means entitlement to all the benefits, entitlement to housing, entitlement to all the things that the indigenous Irish fought for. Such an amnesty was made available to many migrants who even had a criminal record, with any accepted by the programme not only being granted permission to stay in the country, but also being put on the pathway to gaining Irish citizenship. So not just being given houses, not just being given benefits, but also being given the right to claim that they are actually now Irish. The soft touch approach has since resulted in huge numbers of non-Ukrainian migrants claiming asylum in Ireland, with the state now struggling to house genuine Ukrainian refugees who are genuinely fleeing a war zone. As a result of the large number of arrivals from various nations, ranging from Albania and Nigeria, neither of which are active conflict zones. Ireland's handling of the crisis has been so poor that it has even attracted the attention of politicians abroad, with the country's Prime Minister being chastised in the European Parliament this year for the country's lax border policies. Do you think that mass amnesties for illegal migrants by EU member states is going to alleviate or worsen migration pressure on Europe? Charlie Vimers asked the Premier, telling Breitbart that the country could end up turning into a migration mecca that would worsen the entire bloc's illegal migrant problems. So it's not just going on in Britain, and not Great Britain, United Kingdom, not just going on in England where they're putting them up in hotels and causing problems in the local area. In Ireland, they're literally giving them all an amnesty. Doesn't matter if they've got a criminal record, and they're being put on a pathway to claiming that they are actually Irish. I mean, that is just displacing the indigenous Irish, isn't it? This is happening all over Europe, as far as I'm aware, apart from places such as Hungary or Poland that are resisting this. And I think most of the migrants don't really want to go to places like Iceland because it's too cold. And of course, when you look at Iceland, it has one of the lowest crime rates, I think, in the whole of Europe. And it also happens to be one of the most white countries in the whole of Europe. I'm sure it's just a coincidence there. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.